everyone. We wanted to tell you about a new show we are loving, the Culture Study Podcast with Anne Helen Peterson.
It's a show about exploring the nooks and crannies of the culture that surrounds you. Each week, Anne and a super smart co-host answer listeners' questions about the stuff they find interesting and perplexing, like, why do clothes suck now? Is Paw Patrol propaganda, or is it not that deep? And what's the deal with everyone I know getting a divorce?
Like Anne's tremendously popular newsletter, the Culture Study Podcast is funny, insightful, and kind of weird. And it's guaranteed to help you become the most interesting person at parties. Listen to the Culture Study Podcast every Wednesday, wherever you get your shows. Why won't you text me back?
Text
me back. Text me back, Megan. Welcome to Text Me Back, a comedy and opinion podcast from KUOW about best friends, the best animals, and the worst people. I'm Lindy West.
And I am Megan Hatcher-Mays.
Lindy, it's our podcast again.
And here we are.
Here we are, present on the podcast. And I have some tidings for you. And you know, last time we did this, you had a beautiful song that you wrote. And I'm not going to lie, I'm intimidated, you know, by your composition skills.
Mm-hmm. That was my intention.
Yep. And you're a longtime member of the Northwest Girls Choirs. So it's like, how can I compete?
Correct.
With not only your singing and composition ability, but also the fashion of that time is so grand. You know, this is really difficult for me. But I just thought, you know, if this is going to be a co-equal podcast, I should really carry my weight. So I composed my own tiding song for today's tiding segment.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so cute that you tried.
Yeah. You can't see me. Actually, you can, but I'm wearing a Northwest Girls Choir vest that I got off of eBay. It has a
Someone sold their 1999 era Northwest Girl Choir touring choir uniform, which was a pair of palazzo pants and the tiniest genie's vest of all time.
It has like a giant music note on the back or something. I don't know.
No, it was like paisley with sequins. It was like bedazzled paisley. It was made of felt. It was black with blue piping.
Yeah.
And then you wore it with the biggest palazzo pants that you've ever seen.
When I said I was wearing the vest, that was stolen valor. I don't have a vest. Anyway, here's the song. Yes.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I do still have my pants, but they made me give back the they made me give back the vest.
Hey, that's good stuff. You can't just be throwing around vests like that.
Well, but I earned it with my, as you said, valor. Mm-hmm. I was in the trenches of choir.
Yeah, you fought in the girl choir wars of 1991. Yeah, it was serious stuff.
Sure did. Sure did.
Anyway, here's my song. It goes.
Go. Do you have
it? Do you have it?
Tidings.
So do ya?
It's just not what I expected. It's just not what I expected.
Well, maybe you're not ready for
you really brought, can I say?
Yes?
You really brought something that's been missing from this podcast.
That's right.
A little urban flavor.
That's right. You know what? I don't think that people are ready for like the kind of girl choir I want to put together. You know what I'm saying?
No, people are not ready.
They're not ready.
What is this? The Bronx 1982?
Who do you think you are, Cool Moe Dee?
Who do you think you are, Mike O'Malley?
I do think that. Anyways, I do have some tidings. We talked about you know, something that's been weighing really heavily on my heart.
Okay.
For a while now. You know, I've been, yeah, this is my tiding. I'm upset.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, we talked about this a little bit. Something's weighing really heavily on me. This is my tiding. I am the victim of some pretty serious, some pretty serious bullying, Lindy.
Oh no!
The perpetrator is a young woman by the name of Brenda Entertainment Baby, and she listen, this is serious, Lindy. She is a 6-year-old purebred Pomeranian who my husband and I adopted. She's a demon. She's a purebred minuscule demon.
And did you adopt her or were you punished by being forced to be her jailers and also
her hostage.
Her servants.
I actually am kind of her hostage. So here's the thing about Brenda. First of all, I love her so much, and all I want is for her to be like, I don't know, gain the power of speech and tell me that I'm her favorite. But it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. She prefers my husband to an insulting degree. It's like, I don't exist when this man is in our home. It's vile. It's repulsive.
Yeah.
And yet here I am, ready to lay my life down for this tiny dog.
Yeah.
She's horrible. And also she does kind of keep me hostage, you know, because you know this, because when you visited me, you met Brenda. And I think it went great. I think you guys are besties, right?
Megan, look, it's not that I'm not sympathetic to your plight. It's just that it's a little insensitive for you to tell me that you have been bullied by Brenda when the way that this dog has spoken to me.
I know. Listen, I thought you were a feminist, Lindy. Oh,
when you come in the room, does Brenda look at you and say, yarp, 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 yarp? No, she looks at you and she says, oh, there's my mommy that I love slightly less than my dada. But when I come in the room, she's like, who's that? Osama bin Laden? Like...
Osama bin Lindy.
Osama bin Lindy?
Is she?
And I have not done anything to her except try to
That's
love
not true.
Her.
You know what you did? You stood up and walked around in my condo, which you should know is a felony. Get a grip, Lindy. So Brenda, the reason I have a purebred Pomeranian is not because I went out and bought one. I got her for $0.
Yeah.
It was a fire sale.
She's a lemon.
Yeah, she's a lemon. And the shelter was like, we'll pay you to take her because she's got problems. And I was like, oh, okay. She's got a chronic illness. It's called mega esophagus, which means, I don't know, her esophagus is like a limp noodle.
Yeah, I have that too, but I use it to eat hot dogs.
Brenda's not allowed. She has to eat. I have to take her food. I have to take her wet food and roll it up into little meatballs and then feed her the meatballs. And I have to hold her upright for 20 minutes after every meal. Otherwise, she'll get sick.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When she gets upset and she starts barking, that aggravates the potential for illness. So she's just sort of like, here's my Brenda impression. And then she just kind of like pukes all over the floor. And this is after I like sweat away in the kitchen, rolling up her little meatballs. None of this means anything to her.
Your whole house smells like meatballs. I can attest.
It really does.
And not the nonna's Italiano kind.
No.
Here's what's interesting about this to me.
Yeah.
Mega esophagus sounds like... kind of cool.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds extremely like metal. Yeah.
What a superhero might have.
Yeah.
A superhero like me who absolutely houses multiple hot dogs at once without chewing.
It's like Dave Mustaine of Mega Esophagus.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But
actually, Mega Esophagus makes you very frail and weak and not metal at all. That's very sad. Oh, here's a fun fact about Mega Esophagus. Dogs who had it in the past didn't have very good outcomes, you know, because it's really hard for them to keep food down and they fail to thrive. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't survive. And it turns out some researchers at Washington State University, by the way, that's a nod to
hometown heroes.
Washington State, hometown heroes. They discovered that if you give dogs with Mega Esophagus a dosage of, you guessed it, Viagra, they're more likely to keep food down. So not only am I rolling up little meatballs for this little demon who doesn't even like me, I have to give her two doses of Viagra a day.
Okay. Couple of questions. So, question one, what you're telling me is that you have to make your dog's esophagus erect and horny for meatballs
so that she
doesn't aspirate her food and die.
I would like the record to reflect that I didn't say that at all.
Question two, why did the scientist discover this? Why did the scientist feed Viagra to a dog?
It's not by for accident? Me. To question the great minds of science. And so I won't. Yes.
So I follow a lot of defective dogs on Instagram.
Yes.
And so I have seen dogs with Mega Esophagus before. And it seems like usually what they do is someone will build the dog a little custom high chair so that they are sitting upright while they eat their food. But that's not what you guys chose to do.
No.
You chose.
First of all, it's called a Bailey chair, first of all.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And you can have them specially made. And we just didn't do that because she's so tiny and it's so fun to carry her around. You know?
Yeah, but this is a huge time commitment. You have to feed Brenda meatball by meatball, and then you have to hold her upright for half an hour.
20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Twenty minutes is half an hour, first of all.
But then during that 20 minutes you're getting just the sliver of Pomeranian love that you fought so hard for. So
but what if you're busy?
Busy doing what? My job? Get a grip.
Okay, so here's my last question.
Yeah.
How's it going? Is it working? Is Brenda aspirating?
No.
Here's what happened.
So I sat her down. I was like, listen, ma'am, enough with the bullying, enough with the you know, and the puking. we're gonna establish some parameters around here. You better start acting right. You know?
Mm.
So I sat her down and I said, I need you to sign this paperwork. It's called the No Puke Pledge. And we're not going to puke. We're not going to puke anymore. We're not going to do that. You can still bully Lindy, mm-hmm. but we're not puking anymore. Okay.
Hey.
You know what she did?
She signed it and she never puked again?
No. Lindy, she puked on the paper. She puked right on it. Listen, she's not a good girl. Brenda Entertainment Baby is not a good girl. And she doesn't even like me. That's the best part.
I just want to say that obviously it was emotionally distressing for me to have a dog not like me.
Yeah.
Tell me
Brenda
about it.
Brenda is very,
she's very cute. And I just wanted to hold her and
it's
have her
unbelievable.
Like me.
Honestly, Brenda's unbelievable. But, like she's a cartoon character. Her eyes are perfect spheres of, you know, unknowing black void. Like she's unbelievable. Yeah. Just an angel. She looks just like if a little fox became best friends with a bear and then she came into your house and curled right up into a little croissant. It's
became best friends with a bear. Is that a euphemism for had sex
no,
and had a
like,
baby?
No, it's like they became one, well, but not sexually. No, it was like spiritually.
Well, like it was just weird because you just said they became best friends and then they came in your house, but then they were just one animal.
Yes, exactly. Now you get it. Because there's something about Brenda that's very cosmic. It's not so pedestrian. As sex, you know,
no,
it's
I
like some
want
sort
it to
of
be.
Cosmic
I
intergalactic.
Didn't want to picture a bear and a fox
it's
having
like,
sex.
No, it's like elven magic that put these two things together to make them one. Good Lord, you have a problem.
Okay.
Anyways,
you have a problem. Called, you said it. You're the problem.
The one who has the problem.
Okay, but even worse than that, even worse than the emotional trauma that I feel from Brenda not liking me, it's so stressful because the way that she expresses her hatred of me is by barking at me, which causes her to vomit, which directly endangers her life. Like, she is going to hate me to death, to her own death, and I'm going to be responsible just because I apparently have a bad vibe that caused Brenda to barf to death.
Yeah, well,
what am I supposed to do with that?
Maybe you should pray on that, Lindy. Maybe you should think about the impact that you're having on tiny Pomeranians. Okay.
I didn't do anything.
I already told you, you committed the worst crime of them all, which was being tall and walking around. What is there not to get?
She did not like me when I was sitting down either, Megan. Come on.
Anyway.
Don't sugarcoat this. Okay.
Here's the situation. As much as Brenda despises me and you, I still think she could take, I think she could take Barry, your dog. I think she could take him Barry? in a little dog pageant.
Mm-hmm. Barry, my dog?
Mm-hmm.
My beautiful boy? My
Barry
beautiful
Saxophone Obama? I think she Barry, could take him.
His name is not Barry Saxophone Obama. His name is Barack Hussein Saxophone.
Oh, I'm so because, sorry. I genuinely am very sorry.
because my dear spouse, Aha May Filet, wanted to name the dog Saxophone, and I said, that's not a name. And then we argued about it, and then I said, is there a kind of saxophone that's more like a name? And then I thought, a baritone saxophone is more commonly referred to as a Barry saxophone, to save time. And so then I was like, what if his name was Barry? Secretly, we know that it's Barry saxophone. And then Aham said, oh yeah, and it's also Barry, like Obama's nickname in college. And then I said, and I know this is problematic, but oh well, I said, what if his name was Barack Hussein saxophone? And then Aha May Filet said yes. And then I said, no, that can't really be his name. And then Aha May Filet said, yes, it has to be his name. So anyway.
Here's the Brenda guarantee. Brenda Entertainment Baby. Bing, bang, bong. She wins. Barry.
No. What are you talking about?
Noted hat thief. Absconder Look, of accessories. He can't
did
be
he
trusted.
Steal your hat? Is that what happened? He stole your hat and your mat?
He ate it. Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
It?
Yeah.
He ruined it?
Well, I wouldn't say ruined it, but it was in his mouth.
Do you still have it? Do you wear it?
Who could say, Lindy? That's not what's
important. Was
there
damage? Was there damage to the hat?
There
or
was
just dog saliva?
Hey, there was a theft. There was a theft.
A theft is not a damage. A theft also, can be playful.
Yeah, remember when we were walking him around, what was it, Seward Park, I think? We came across came across a pack of coyotes.
Yeah.
There were like three of them. And we were like, oh my God, we got to get out of here. Come on, Barry. And Barry was like, why would we do that? Those are my three friends. He like tried to go over to them.
Hey, those are my guys.
Hey,
what's up?
Those are my best boyfriends.
Hey guys, have you met my mom?
Hey, come bite her arm and eat her friend's hat. It's a gas. So strike two for Barry. He'll put you in mortal danger.
Barry's sense of self-preservation is low.
Minimal. Yeah.
Barry will run right up to any wild animal and try to
Good
be friends.
Him.
But this isn't about bravery. First of all, Barry does beat Brenda in a bravery pageant.
No, that's not true.
But this is about a beauty pageant. And Barry has the most silkiest golden fur. Barry's a golden retriever. He is a pumpkin boy. He is a butterscotch prince. He is so beautiful. He has his ear fur, when it gets wet, it self crimps. It gets little crimps. It is so cute. He has the classic golden retriever quill pen tail. He has fluffy pants on his butt.
Pantalones.
He has pantalones. He is so freaking cute. And he has soulful brown eyes out of which he cannot see because he, like Brenda, is an inbred freak with juvenile cataracts.
I mean,
and now I have to spend $7,000 to get him new eyeballs.
Oh, well,
which
I
love.
This podcast is a smash. Listen, if I were you, I would have stuck with bravery because I do actually think Barry would win a bravery pageant, because Brenda, after the 4th of July, she wouldn't go outside unless we physically took her out there, because she was like, there's a noise out there. It's like, even if you drop like a chapstick on the ground, she won't speak to you for days. She's okay. Very, very concerned.
Barry is afraid of not bears, not cougars, not massive harbor seals, not coyotes. However, he is afraid of the dustpan. Mm. And if the dustpan is too close to his food bowl, he will lie on the floor 15 feet away and go, and it's not immediately apparent, like, because you are looking around, you're like, why aren't you eating your dinner? What's wrong? Because it's not like there's anything scary near the dinner. And then eventually you remember, oh yes,
oh, yeah,
his greatest mortal foe, the dustpan.
Yeah. Brenda is too small to get up on the bed by herself. So every morning at, like, I would say, I don't know, 5 a.m., she'll come to one side of the bed and go, and then that's how you know you have to lift her up and put her in the bed. So I think actually what we're getting at is they both lose. They're both horrible.
And they're both the worst. Maybe they should be best friends also.
Yeah.
Barry can jump up onto anything, ooh, but he is a lazy boy and he pretends like he can't so that we have to lift him for attention.
He
pretends like he cannot jump into the car and he just stands there. And then he turns around and looks back at you over his shoulder like, hello?
Excuse
please
me?
Please help me. Excuse
mommy
me? Please lift my little butt. And then you have to scoop his little butt up and push him into the car.
Which is perfect wee butterscotch, by the way.
Please cup my butterscotch pantaloons. And whiff me into decor. I love him so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I love Brenda so much, and she's just like, eh, I've seen better.
See,
like, that's okay.
Barry okay loves me so much. And so that is the difference between us, yeah, is that I'm beloved.
Yeah.
You,
I'm a stinker.
Debase yourself
for
this dog.
For this dog's love. And that's why Brenda wins. No, she loses. I mean, I think we've come to the conclusion that...
No, it's a tie.
It's
don't
a
say
tie
that.
Yeah, it's a tie between two stinkertons. Please light a candle for us, because next up, we're talking about America's most presidential bully, Donald Trump. Our show is called Text Me Back, so we want to invite you to our group chat.
Do you have any questions for us about your own friendship dilemmas? Maybe friendships with ghosts?
Ooh.
Or just some personal tidings of your own? No song needed, but encouraged.
Very encouraged. We want to include your questions and tidings on the show. So text us to join the Text Me Back text club. Text BFF to 206-926-9955. That's 206-926-9955.
And even if we can't text you back every time, we pinky promise to read all of your texts and think about how to include them in the show.
This podcast is free and it's accessible to everyone thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks!
Megan, it wouldn't be the bullying episode if we didn't talk about the big man himself.
America's number one.
The king.
Top bully.
Patient zero. Donald Jeff Trump.
Yep. Lest you forget, used to be the president of the United States.
All of them.
And could be again. It's horrifying, but true. The polls are very unsettling.
I don't like to talk about the polls.
No.
First of all, what's a poll a year in advance?
This podcast is a very strong anti-poll stance.
Okay. But he kind of invented it, you know?
Bullying?
He didn't invent it. He didn't invent it, but he perfected it.
Yeah.
Yes. He's in the news this week, like every week, for doing a combination of the darkest shit you've ever heard in your life, such as promising to seize power over the military to suppress liberal protests.
Normal. Normal.
And also, he popped up in our old friend Iowa.
Oh, Iowa history alert.
He's birthing some Iowa history in real time with lines like, "Crooked Joe Biden is waging a demented crusade to annihilate Iowa ethanol."
Oh, Jesus.
Couldn't possibly tell you what that means. He also dropped this little gem about Fort Dodge, Iowa, which is where he was giving the speech, which apparently is a low crime area. According to Trump in Fort Dodge, quote, "You don't have people getting bopped over the top of the head." As we know, the main crime is plaguing Americans.
Head boppings. Listen, here's some unfortunate facts for listeners of this podcast. Donald Trump is the funniest person who and I'm sorry to say it, I really am. Again, I said this before, I wish this was a situation where you could separate the art from the artist, you know?
I know.
But also at the end of the day, his proximity to power is what makes this comical. Neither of us are trying to minimize the threats that Donald Trump poses to American and global democracy at all. He is a bad person, and we have to take this stuff really seriously. But it's like, he doesn't, you know,
right.
Donald Trump is not taking this seriously. It's like
right.
when he was president, he was calling kids up and telling them Santa didn't exist, like from the Oval Office. Come on. Unfortunately, that's very funny.
I know. And if it was just
like
more of that and less of all the other stuff, I would potentially change my vote. No, but the thing is, he's the final boss. He's the ultimate bully. But what he's really good at is sort of delegating the real bullying to his minions so that he can spend his time on the stuff that really matters to him.
Such as
my very favorite Trump obsession that's been going on over a decade, possibly since he was born in 1875, which is Donald Trump's obsession with sharks.
Ugh.
Do you know?
I do.
I know you know. Because we talk about it all the time.
I want people to know this is not a bit. He genuinely, for decades, has been railing against Big Shark.
I'm going to send the military to bully the American people. Meanwhile, I'm going to spend my time on the campaign trail bullying sharks.
Yes, I'm going to shoot a missile into the ocean. They deserve it.
I'm going to send SEAL Team 6. I assume that's a bunch of real
seals. Seals, yes. Six enormous seals.
I'm gonna give them some guns. I'm gonna send them into the ocean to destroy sharks. Okay, so here's some stuff that Donald Trump has said about sharks. Oh boy, there's nothing I like more. Let's start with the old tweets.
Mm-hmm.
2013. So 2013, the presidency was not even a twinkle in his eye at this point. He tweeted, "Sorry, folks," which, first of all, I love the idea that he's disappointing us in some way with this announcement. "Sorry, folks. I'm just not a fan of sharks."
By the way, he tweeted this on the 4th of July in 2013. What was happening at his 4th of July party where he's like, "Hang on.
Oh my God.
I just thought of something."
Chuck Grassley would not approve of this. "Today is America birthday. Why not tweet America history?
Tweet about history.
Why tweet shark history?" Okay. "Sorry, folks. I'm just not a fan of sharks." And then this part is so weird to me.
Yeah.
It's like kind of beautiful and poetic. And strangely, not the Trump we have come to know. Mm-hmm. He said, "And don't worry, they will be around long after we are gone."
Oh, okay. Weirdly meditative about the longevity of the mighty shark.
Right. So you know, first of all, that sharks are essentially unchanged since prehistoric times. they're an ancient
Well,
they're
an ancient like, fish. Sounds like you know it too, Lindy. Anything
and
you'd
also,
like to share?
I'd love to share everything I know about sharks. Thank you, Megan. Yeah. Okay. This PowerPoint will be called Everything I Know About Sharks by Lindy West. Okay.
And Donald Trump.
And Donald Trump. Oh, my God.
A co-produced PowerPoint between the two of you guys.
Oh, my God. This is my Hallmark movie.
Oh, my God.
We got paired up by the science teacher to do our presentation together.
This is so repulsive, even just joking about it.
Except it's not on the Hallmark channel. It's on the All Shark channel.
It's on Newsmax.
It's on Newsmax. Okay. Also, it's very, like, not Republican, although I guess he was maybe still a Democrat in 2013.
I don't know.
It's very un-Republican to admit that humans will not live forever.
Yeah.
You know, to acknowledge that our extinction is on the horizon. Okay.
Okay.
So then he tweeted just 2 minutes later. He said, sharks are last on my list, other than perhaps the losers and haters of the world. Oh, which, release the rest of the list. I want to know your ranking of every animal from best to worst.
I have God, to know. Man. I can't. I won't rest until I know. Again, this is like a long-term obsession with him that he to this day is giving some speeches about how much he hates sharks. But back in 2011, Stormy Daniels gave this interview where she was like, oh, by the way, Donald Trump hates sharks, and he made her watch Shark Week, I guess. And he was like, check this out. This is the deadliest shark attack in history. It's like he needs to keep tabs on his greatest enemy because at any moment he could be targeted by a shark.
It's like he has to think about sharks, like immerse himself in sharks at all times mm-hmm. so that he knows their ways. I don't know, maybe. So like I am scared of spiders and I follow probably 10
Yeah.
spider accounts on Instagram and I just will look at videos of spiders being scary. It feels like why women are into true crime.
Exactly. You have to know all of the ways that you could get got. You just have to make your little list and just be aware. That's Trump and sharks.
Okay, so this is still going on. Trump recently he brought up a classic conundrum that every world leader has faced at some point.
Sure.
During their reign.
From FDR to...
Yes, name another one.
That's the only guy I know. From Abraham Lincoln to FDR, all of our world leaders have been saying...
To King George IV. Perhaps.
This was really weighing very heavily on many world leaders' minds. And I'm so good like, for Trump like, for bringing this up, you know?
This is a classic conundrum that every powerful man has to face. So Trump is giving a speech, a fiery speech, ranting about one of the true scourges of our time, the fact that Joe Biden is making boats heavier adding batteries.
I think we can all agree the top issue facing Americans today is what's going to happen to my boat.
I mean, this is why we don't make boats electric.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows it.
The Roosevelt administration.
From
King Harald of Norway to
Nelson Mandela.
Silvio Berlusconi.
It's everyone knows that you don't freaking do this. And here's why. Donald Trump says eloquently, but if I'm sitting down and that boat's going down and I'm on top of a battery.
My God.
And the water starts flooding in. I'm getting concerned.
Sure. He's really brave to admit that he would get concerned in such a scenario.
Yes. He's like, okay, what am I going to do? If that battery hits the water, he's getting electrocuted right up the ass. But if he jumps in, obviously what you're going to do is jump in the water, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then Trump says, but then I look 10 yards to my left and there's a shark over there. So I have a choice of electrocution or shark. You know what I'm going to take? Electrocution. I will take electrocution every single time. Do we agree?
And his fans said, yes! Like, just doesn't matter what he says. They love his ass. It's crazy.
Why
did you ever be in a situation where your electric boat was... Oh my God.
It's because Joe Biden made it too heavy. Everyone who goes in an electric boat is going to be in this situation at one point or another.
Like your electric boat is sinking and you're like, oh, I'm definitely out of here. I'm leaving the earth. But I can't get got by this shark.
Why?
It's just like the trolley problem, you know? Philosophers everywhere asking first-year students to solve it.
Karl Marx to
Friedrich here,
Nietzsche.
Kierkegaard.
Okay. Do you think that this hatred of sharks is trickling down to his followers? Like, you know how every time there's like a gay person in a commercial, Republicans go and throw away their coffee maker or whatever?
Yeah.
Do you think that Republicans are going to start sitting on electric batteries and getting shocked up their ass in protest of sharks?
I thought you were going to say, are they going to start throwing out their sharks? And I was like, yes. Just dumping them back into the ocean.
God,
the thing, I mean, okay, we've had a nice time laughing at all of the insane things Donald Trump, by the way, we barely scratched the surface. Every other day, this man is saying the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. But what sucks about it is, again, this man is a raggedy, racist turd and a demon who needs to be kept away from the White House at all costs, just to free him up to continue his comedy tour without harming anyone or creating new existential threats that I can't even comprehend.
Okay, Megan.
Yes.
Can you use your swamp contacts to find one of those people where they're like, my job is to get female candidates elected or whatever. We don't care who she is as long as she's
a woman.
Girl bossing.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's nothing in the rule book that says a female shark can't be girl bossing.
Now we're cooking.
Get the swamp ladies to recruit a shark to challenge Trump for the presidency. Poetic justice. Trump is taken down not by the shark's teeth in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
but by the shark's likability rating in the polls.
We've got to beat this bully at his own game.
Literally.
I think the only requirement is that the shark needs to be 35 years old.
Well, many of them are hundreds and hundreds of years old, Nathan.
So, problem solved. Donald Trump can keep doing shark-based comedy, and he never has to be the president because he'll be too scared to go near the White House when shark president is sworn in.
Also, when they do the debate in the shark's hometown, he'll drown.
That's right. How is he going to get to the debate stage in the ocean? Electric boat.
After the break, more human bullies, including one teenage legend, Megan Hatcher-Mays.
It's not bullying if it's for justice.
So, we heard who my bully is. Your crappy dog. But who's been waiting for you after school? Megan, who's bullying you?
These like 9-year-old girls who live across the street, down the street. And they used to do this thing. They would ding dong ditch. They would just come to my door, ring the doorbell, make my dogs go absolutely bonkers, screaming, and then like run away and be like, and then I made the mistake. You should never do this if you're getting ding dong ditched by a crusty preteen. Never, don't acknowledge that they're doing it. It only makes them more powerful. But I did the opposite of that. And whipped my door open and said, don't you ever ring my doorbell again, you little shits. And then, of course, they were like, let's do it again. And then they did. And so then they started coming to my house all the time, not to ding dong ditch, but to like be friends with me. And so they were like trying to sell me like lemonade and stuff. And I was like, well, first they come over and they're like, do you want some lemonade? Do you want a smoothie? And I was like, I don't know what's in it. And they're like, you know, juice. And I was like, I don't know. And I was just going to take a cup to be nice. And I was like, okay, sure. And then like dump it out. And they're like, okay, well, that'll be $10. was like $10 for it. Like, it wasn't even solo cup. It was like a Dixie cup size thing of juice, which I'm sure was poisoned, by the way. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't have $10. And one of them goes, we take Cash App. So I got out of that. But the next time I saw them, I was walking my dogs, and one of them, and you know, my dogs are tiny and they're cute. And so, you know, kids are always like, oh my God, I want to pet your dog. And so they're petting my dog. And then one of them comes up to me and goes, your elbows look really weird. I was like, what are you saying? I have ashy elbows. And she goes, yeah, you do. And I was like, Jesus, like they just are coming for my jugular all the time. But now they're like back in school. They don't mess with me as much. I had to be like, you need to stop ringing my doorbell. And I gave them cupcakes. I was like, I have these leftover cupcakes from a party. So I had to like basically bribe them to be nice to me.
Do you feel like this is your comeuppance for your preteen life of crime?
No. I don't. And that's the end of the story.
Will you swear on this Bible? Will you swear on this copy of the Fellowship of the Ring that you never ding dong ditched once in
never
your life?
Did. Yeah, I never did that. I never ding dong ditched.
What did you do that was comparable? What was your mischief during your era? What was your, you know, number one top mischief?
So before you and I became friends, there was a classic mischief making that we would do. I won't say the other party's names to protect their privacy, but we would drive around in my friend's mom's minivan, her Ford Windstar. Mm-hmm. We'd head down to the McDonald's. I don't know if it's still there. But it was like right across the street from the Space Needle in Lower Queen Anne.
Oh yeah, it's not there anymore, but I used to go there a lot.
RIP. That was my go-to McDonald's, because it was like on the way, you know, home. So anyway, we would order like 30, 40 packets.
Of
30, 40 packets of.
That's too many packets. Too many packets of whatever you're going to say.
30 to 40 packets of tartar sauce. And it was like $5, which was like, you know, a perfectly reasonable amount of money to spend on that many tartar sauce packets.
Okay. Can I pause?
Sure.
And say that in 1996, $5 was $100. $5 was so valuable. And I know you are not doing anything constructive with this tartar sauce. Which, do they even still have tartar sauce at McDonald's? What do you mean they had tartar sauce at McDonald's?
I guess they used to have the filet of fish.
They put it on the fish filet. Yeah, that's true. They do. They probably still do have that.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been spending that money on like a down payment on a house, but instead I was doing this. So anyway, so we would get the tartar packets, and then, you know, later that night, we would drive around in the minivan, and we would around Upper Queen Anne and Magnolia.
Very fancy neighborhoods.
Very fancy, like Highland Drive.
Lifestyles of the rich.
And we would.
Uh-huh. Yes. I don't like it.
Where's crack the tea sauce packets open just a hair.
Okay.
And chuck them at fancy cars. And they would explode with tartar sauce all over people's cars.
Megan!
No, can I tell you the best part, though?
Please.
By the way, first of all, this was a very class-conscious crime.
Yeah.
Because we only ever targeted BMWs, Mercedes, never a working-class Honda Accord.
Sure.
Never, never.
That's
never.
Praxis. And I assume you you learned about this, you read about this in the Anarchist Cookbook.
Right. Actually, if you read the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx gets into this pretty deeply. In his original German. Is he German? Anyway. Anyways, so we would just chuck them at the fanciest cars that we could find, and we never got caught. It was great. It was like an incredible crime spree that was never solved.
Did you have, what'd you call it? Were you like, hey guys, let's go out? What did you?
It was a really creative name. It was called Tea Sawsome. we would drive around T-saucing fancy cars.
You gotta save time.
I don't have endless time to be saying tartar sauce. Let's throw tartar sauce packets at Lexuses. So of course, you know, you'd get some blowback when you would chuck the T-sauce packets at the car. So it would like blow back onto my friend's mom's Ford Windstar. So like, oh, and this was all happening like while her mom was like, I know. So we'd have to like take the van to the Brown Bear car wash in Interbay to wash it down there. Before. Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Before her mom came back into town or whatever. Cause we would always do this when her mom was like traveling for work or whatever. So one morning we went down there to like wash the blowback tea sauce off of the van, and this guy pulls up in a Lexus right behind it, and his car was covered in tar sauce. And we were like, oh shit, no. And the guy was like, he literally was like, oh man, you guys got this happened to you too?
They got you too.
And we were like, yes, that is right. We too were victims of the teenage tea saucing crime ring, sir. We were like, we gotta get out of here. This is no good.
Oh, that's hardly a crime. Big whoop. Okay, if you or your family was a victim of tea saucing in the 90s, if you have a memory deep inside of coming out to your BMW on Queen Anne Hill in the 90s and finding it covered in tea sauce.
If you have been a victim of Megan's teenage life of crime.
Please text us at 206-926-9955. Megan would like to apologize. And
No, I wouldn't. I don't feel bad about it.
I'm just kidding. I would never make you apologize. Of course not. Dude, if more people thought like you, maybe Seattle wouldn't have ended up here. You know?
Exactly. We should have made it
more hostile to rich people.
Collaborative. 25 years ago. And in solidarity, we should have been tea saucing.
Absolutely. But
maybe next life.
It's too late now. All the tea sauce in the world couldn't fix this place.
I know. Couldn't achieve income equality in the greater Seattle area. Sad. But I tried. I did my best.
If you were a victim of tea saucing on the west side of Queen Anne Avenue.
or Magnolia, because we got your asses pretty well too.
That's 206-926-9955. Or email us at textmeback@kuow.org for no reparations at all.
Absolutely none. Nary an apology will be uttered. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Text Me Back. You can find me on Instagram at TheLindyWest.
And you can find me at Important, MEAGAN. If you like the show, please tell your best friend about us, and please rate and review us. It helps people find the show.
Text Me Back is a production of KUOW in Seattle, a proud member of the NPR network. Our editor is Jeannie Yandel. Our senior producer is Brandy Fullwood. Our mixer is Jason Burrows.
Our production team includes Juan Pablo Chiquitza, Michaela Giannotti Boyle, Amelia Peacock, Hans Twite, Brendan Sweeney, and Marshall Eisen.
Our music is by Chief Ahamefele J. Oluo.
And special thanks to our perfect angel, Isolde Raftery.
I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays. See you next week.